If you would join me for an opening prayer, I would appreciate it. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to come together today as owners of Deer Springs Ranch. We pray that your Spirit would guide us, guide our hearts, and guide our minds, and guide our conversation as we work together to make Deer Springs Ranch the wonderful place that we all want it to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I would like to start just by reminding everyone that we are using a transcription service now instead of doing handwritten minutes. And so in order to make the transcription service work as smoothly as possible, if you are going to say something to the whole meeting, you should start by giving your name. And the best way to ask questions or provide input is by using the chat feature that's at the bottom of the screen. And Jennifer, again, I'm not an expert on this, so why don't you just take a minute and explain kind of how that works?
All you do is click on that chat bubble at the bottom. It opens a window to the right of your screen, and you'll see there's a message box on the bottom of it. There's an everyone, and if you click on that everyone, it'll pop up options to have a private message to anyone on the call. Just be aware any private messages between you and another person that don't go to everyone are available in the recording, so don't pick on my outfit. So you just stay on everyone, type your message, I'll note it, and Mike will look at it and weave you into the conversation. It's just better that way for the transcription. And I'm typing one right now so you can see.
All right. Thank you. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you for that. And I'm not sure if we made the announcement in our last meeting or not, but Cindy has volunteered to be our secretary for the board. So Cindy will be performing the job function for the secretary. And we really appreciate that. It's just so everybody knows, it's not a fun job. I know some of the board members have done that job in the past. And when we ask for volunteers of the board to fill that position, initially there were no volunteers. So after about a month of discussing options, Cindy finally raised her hand and said she would take over that responsibility. So we really appreciate that, Cindy. And with that, I will turn it over to you for the presentation of the October meeting minutes.
All right. This is Cindy, and a lesson to you all. Don't be the last to say not it when somebody asks if you want to be secretary. So the minutes of the October meeting were emailed out to the board, and if there are no additional changes at this time, I move that we approve the minutes of the October meeting.
I would second it.
All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The minutes have been approved. Cindy, anything you wanted to add at this point?
No, I'll do my best. I ask for everyone's patience and tolerance.
Understood. Okay, Joe Bose for the treasurer report.
Yeah, okay, this is Joe. I couldn't open QuickBooks. We have problems with that. So I did it with the bank statement. So all I have is that. In the checking account, we have $87,231. In the main savings, we have $61,213. And the special savings, we have 4271. And other than that, I don't have anything major that's to be noted about or worried about. So we're looking good.
Okay, thank you for that. Any questions for Joe? Okay, moving on to the office report from Jennifer.
Okay, we are working on upgrading systems. Members should be happy to hear that we are going to improve the cabin reservation system. So over the next probably 45 to 60 days, we will be implementing a new cabin reservation system. We will be upgrading our accounting software. As Joe indicated, we have both input and communication issues with an older version of QuickBooks. So we are upgrading that. And we are also going to be upgrading the internet speed and bandwidth at Ranch HQ so that Kurt has better connectivity and any cabin guests that need a quick check-in will have a better experience that way, and that we can track the usage better with a new modem. And those are my my three big issues. Any questions?
I had a quick question, Jennifer, that I forgot to bring up at the sorry, this is Cindy. I forgot to bring up at the executive board meeting is that if we have any extra slots for the QuickBooks that would allow me to see the cabin reservations, that would be helpful in scheduling the volunteers and keeping that side of it current. If that's, you know, if nobody else needs that spot.
Yes, we will absolutely be including whatever additional functionality is available in the system that we're going to use for your purposes that way. Thanks for bringing that up.
And just for everyone's benefit, the reservation system is very old and antiquated, definitely needs to be upgraded. With the handover from Mariah to Jennifer, Jennifer's been in the position for just a couple of months now, and Jennifer has made several suggestions to the board for things that we can do to improve. All of our systems make things run more smoothly, more efficiently, basically kind of bring us out of the dark ages into modern times. And so we, as a board, we have agreed to improve some of the back office type systems that will improve functionality. One of those changes is actually upgrading the HughesNet system at headquarters as well. So all of the things that we're doing, none of it is really expensive. Obviously, things do cost money, but we're talking about, you know, $30 here and $80 there kinds of changes. But those changes that we're going to be implementing are going to make it much better for owners, much more user friendly for owners when they're at the ranch. So I just wanted to share that with everybody. Jennifer, anything you wanted to add to that?
Nope, other than a great big thank you.
and I will share what Jennifer shared with the board, and that is Mariah, who had been doing that job for many years, Mariah had basically just been spending a lot of extra time, a lot of extra effort doing things just because it was easier for her to manually make changes and provide input, you know, things that should have been automated a long time ago but never were, and Mariah was simply doing all of that extra work on her own. And so one of the benefits you have when you have a new person come into a position is they take a look at what's going on and say, oh my goodness, lots of things we can do to improve the system. And so that's what we're in the middle of doing. Okay, thank you, Jennifer. And moving on to item number 5 on the agenda, the property management report from Mr. Kurt Jacobson.
I've been working, first the tractor, the Kubota, we fixed it, and that was a zero expense deal. Cabin 4 has been on the top of the list, and there's always a little more work than you expect to have to put into something, but we're redoing all of the plumbing in Cabin 6. There was a leak there, so I had to tear out all the kitchen cabinets, which were pretty much destroyed from the water. And we'll have all the new water system will be in today. I painted it. It's all painted, and it's really beautiful. The paneling that is on the walls is designed to go over drywall, but it was finish nailed to studs, and so it's bubbling out a lot. So I still have some TNG, so I'm going to go around and I'm going to trim it all out and kind of give that Swiss Chalet look on the inside. And that'll make the wallboard look really sharp and clean. And we've got the upstairs flooring is done. And as soon as I do the upper area trim, I'm going to pull the equipment out. And then the flooring downstairs will get done. And then I'll finish the trim. And then over the winter, I'll build new cabinets. And we'll get those installed with a new countertop in the spring.
You also got new furniture going in there.
And then we have new furniture also going into four. We're going to have new beds. I eliminated one twin bed upstairs. There were two twins and a queen, which made it really crowded. We also took out the hazardous staircase that went up there, and we reframed that into a ceiling or floor up above, and then we bought a spiral staircase that'll get you up to the top in the future. And that's what property manager has been building.
Okay, any questions for Kurt about anything going on at the ranch? Actually, Kurt, I have a question. Following up on the conversation we had regarding moving the vehicles out of the source protection zone around the well, has that been done, or is that going to be done in the near future?
I did that yesterday.
Oh, fantastic. So that's already done.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, thank you very much for doing that. All right. Any other questions for Kurt?
30-inch.
I'm sorry, Kurt. I didn't catch that.
We also have two 30-inch culverts and a collar that we delivered out to Johnny Brown for
fantastic
to install. When I think he said he was coming up next year.
All right, very good. Back to the agenda, item number 6. I think everyone knows that we are working with Kane County, the fire warden of Kane County. They're going to be doing some fire mitigation work at the ranch. All of the information regarding that, including the maps and the scope of work, should be on the website. Vance, is that information already up on the website?
Yeah, I included it as a supporting document for the last meeting, which is when we first started talking about it.
Okay, and I know there were some updates to the map provided by Spencer or Derek, one of the two. So is the map that's up on the website now the most current version,
Yes,
no,
it is.
I don't.
No, okay. I sent him the most current version from Derek, Mike.
Oh, okay, great. So if anybody has questions about the work that's going to be done, you can refer to the documents on the website. Vance sent out a document a day or two ago that appeared in the newspaper there with the Kane County fire warden asking for bids on that project. So all of that work should be done hopefully by the middle of December, but it's out for bid right now. And based on the information that they shared with the board, it's not only going to improve ingress and egress to Meadow Canyon in the event of a wildfire, but it's also going to improve a lot of other things, specifically getting rid of some, you know, old dead trees and brush, basically clearing edges back from the edge of the road so that it's easier to see around corners. So there's a lot of good work that's going to be done on the ranch, and it's not going to cost the ranch anything. This is all being paid for out of Kane County's fire budget. So that's a huge benefit for the ranch. It's going to be taking place in the next month or so. Anybody have any questions about that?
I have a comment. Have a comment on this, Mike. It's John.
Go ahead, John.
I found out that the National Forest is also putting ribbons up on the pipeline and also Phantom Road up there. So they have some plans for trimming out there too, the National Forest. But I inquired on that and talked to Brent Fulmer on it. I said, there's some new flags up here that, weren't on the, on our plan. And he checked into it, and that's the National Forest is doing it. So we got some more work going there.
Fantastic. What's the timing on that?
I don't know the timing, but those ribbons are going up at the same time that the county stuff is. So,
well, I asked when we had that meeting with Spencer, Mrs. Kurt, I'm sorry. When we had that meeting with Spencer on Zoom, I had asked him at the end of the meeting what was going to go on the other side of the fence. And at that time, he said there was going to also be some thinning and logging going on over there. So they have quite a bit more work going on over there. I'm sure that'll carry them into spring.
Okay, fantastic. And when the board met with the fire warden and the assistant, they made it very clear that they are willing to work with the ranch and the individual owners on certain lots to continue to do work for fire mitigation out in our area. So the project that's taking place right now is a very specific project with a start date and an end date. But the expectation is that there will be additional projects that we're going to be able to participate in with the fire warden, in the next couple of years. So that's very exciting. Should be a lot of additional work done at the ranch.
Yeah, this is.
Thank you for that, John. Anything? Go ahead.
This is Kevin Poole, Lot 64. I have several questions on this. The first one is, was there an environmental impact study given to the ranch with this plan? The second question is, what is the length of time that we're going to be dealing with slash piles that will be no smaller than 5 foot in diameter and 10 foot in height spread out through the cut areas that are not accessible for chipping along the roadway? And the third one is, if we get rains, what is going to be the fallout of all that rain coming down the front of the roadway along Crawford Canyon, what kind of damage are we looking at? Are we looking at mudslides? I mean, when you take and cut the trees down, there's nothing to hold the dirt. And from where I came from in Texas, you wasn't going to pick up a saw until you had all kind of mud fencing and everything else in place to make sure that the runoff didn't wreck roadways, people's homes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think fire mitigation is a great thing, but I'm looking at the other side of this thing because I'm not seeing anything that's showing what is the fallout from all this cutting.
Okay, before we get
well, there.
Wait, Mike. Come, this is Vance. Can I speak for a second?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Before we get wrapped up in discussing this amongst ourselves, I would suggest that I think contact information for the fire people is in the plan. These are questions they need to answer. We don't have the answers for it. So,
yeah, I know Spencer.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say Spencer's phone number was in that article, and I can look it up if anybody, if does anybody have it right now? If not, I can get it here very quickly. I'm going to look it up.
Mike, I can look it up and put it in the chat for everyone.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm almost there.
Read it off and I'll put it in the chat.
Well, I thought it. Oh, here we go. Sorry, I've got an old, I'm not sure if it's an old computer or an old operator, but old is the operative word here. Okay, for questions or more information or maps of the project, you can contact the Kane County Fire Warden. His name is Spencer Rollo, R-O-L-L-O. Phone number is 435-819-0671. And then the only comment I want to make, Kevin, is it's not like clear cutting. It's not like they're going to go in and clear cut a great big area and leave a muddy patch. They're going to be thinning it out. And, you know, so I understand why you would be concerned. I just don't know that there's any need to be concerned, but if you do have questions about that, I certainly encourage you to contact Spencer directly. Okay, good question. Any other questions?
Just say thank you, Mike.
Kevin, once again.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that the county did not provide us with an environmental impact study with this. That was the first question.
Not that I'm aware of. This is Mike, and not that I'm aware of.
Okay, thank you.
All right, back to the agenda. Item number 7, the DSROA Ranch Manager Contract Renewal. Those of us that have been around for a while saw basically a revolving door in terms of the ranch manager position over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. Lots of turnover, which led to lots of problems. And so a couple of years ago, the decision was made to put the ranch management position out for bid. The successful bidder, Jacobson Management LLC, Kurt Jacobson, and he's been doing that for the last couple of years and has been doing an excellent job. And so as a board, that contract up until now has been an annual contract, basically being renewed annually. And the board discussed that in the executive session prior to this meeting, and the board agreed unanimously that it makes sense to not only renew the contract with Jacobson Management, but to also extend that contract out for a few years. I think there's a huge benefit to the ranch and to the owners by having consistency and longevity in the ranch management position. We're asking the management company to invest a lot of time and money in things like the store and the petting zoo and other projects around the ranch. So having longevity and consistency is not only necessary but extremely beneficial for the long run. So the contract with Jacobson Management is going to be renewed and be extended for 3 years. And like any contract, you know, there certainly are provisions within the contract. So if there is any kind of a need for a change due to any kind of performance issues or anything like that, that option is available to the ranch. But obviously we don't feel there are any concerns along those lines. Kurt's done an excellent job, done a lot of things above and beyond what the minimum job requirements are. And so just wanted to share that with everybody that Jacobson Management LLC will be continuing as the ranch management contractor for the next 3 years. Any questions or comments on that? Okay, and then we're on to number 8, a brief report of area of responsibility by each board member. And I wanted to mention, Bruce McQueen, you're on, and I know you had sent an email to Jennifer, and she forwarded that on to all of the board members. You know, Bruce was basically making a suggestion that under the area of responsibility by each board member, that it might be nice to have each board member, you know, put in a bullet point of an item that they are planning to discuss. In general, each of us has areas of responsibility, and those areas of responsibility are listed at the top of the meeting agenda. And so in general, you know, each of us at each monthly meeting is going to be talking about something in those categories. For example, you know, I'm on the water committee, and one of the things that I wanted to share is to let everybody know that we unfortunately failed one of our water tests twice. We had a failing result in one of the cabins, and we did a retest, and then out of half a dozen retested samples, they all passed except for one. And so now we're in a situation where we're having to retest again. And part of that process is we want to try to not only figure out why the test failed and fix that problem, but also work on coming up with some better systems to ensure that we're going to have passing results instead of, you know, submitting those results and then hoping for the best. I know there are some things that have been suggested before with an incubator, and some of the people on this call know a whole lot more about it than I do, but I really just wanted to make the point that as the water committee, our plan is to work together to try to identify things that we can do to improve the systems overall and to, I don't know that we can ever eliminate the possibility of negative results, but to at least reduce it to, a very small chance that any of the results that we get back are going to be failing results. And the reason that this is important, well, there's lots of reasons, the most important of which is we want to provide safe drinking water for everyone who's using the cabins and, you know, the day station, everything else. Extremely important for us to have safe water. But in addition to that, if we don't have passing results, it can trigger the involvement of the state to come in and essentially, you know, force us to do things that we might not necessarily want to do if we could control it on our own. So, you know, providing safe water. I was out there last weekend, and I worked with Brent. Brent and I went up to the 40,000 gallon tank, and I was there with him when he opened up the hatch, and we T-cored it to basically chlorinate the system. We went down to headquarters, and we had to purge the system, and I don't know the exact number, but we probably had to purge 5 or 6,000 gallons, you know, out of the system, which just kills me for all kinds of reasons, you know, having to let water, you know, just go running out on the ground down into the wash. But more than anything, just wanted to share the fact that we did have two failing results in a row, and that the Water Committee will be working to try to improve our systems going forward. Any questions on that? No? Okay.
Mike, I have a question about the water. Where do we stand?
Go ahead, Joanne.
Where do we stand with the county and trying to get permits to do the septic systems, and they don't want us to because of we don't have a water source or hauling water? I know we were going to apply for a permit to bypass that, but where does that stand right now?
That has been resolved, and I'll turn it over to Larry.
So I worked with the county health officials and got that problem resolved. That partially the problem was their misunderstanding. So that's not a problem now, is the short answer.
Okay, that's all I needed to know.
Deer Springs Ranch members can get septic permits by drilling their own well or by hauling water from the headquarters approved water hauling station.
Thank you for that, Larry.
This is Jeff Nicholson.
Yes, Jeff, go ahead.
An update on the water testing. I went to take the third round, and because it was Veterans Day on Thursday, they wouldn't accept any samples. They wouldn't accept any on Friday, so I will be out there first thing Monday morning to take another round of six water samples to drive to St. George.
Thank you for doing that. Is there anything that we can do differently to try to improve the results?
When we flush the system, we should really go down to each location that is using water and run the water out through there before we just flush the whole system, because running it through the pipes in the cabins will actually circulate that chlorine through each cabin, and then when we flush it, we'll know that at least each cabin has been internally chlorinated.
Okay, gotcha. That makes perfect sense.
When I do a water sample, I go to the source, and usually it's a kitchen sink. That's the most preferred location. I turn the cold water on. I let it run for 5 minutes, and The assumption is that will pull water out of the main system, not just what's in the line to the cabin. And then I will turn the water off, glove up, and spray with a Clorox water mixture, the faucet, everything I'm going to touch, my gloves, everything. Then I open up the water back on for another 3 to 5 minutes. And then I take a quick sample with the bottle, label it, put it in the cooler, and then I basically take it all to wherever I need to the lab. That's the instructions that I've been doing. I was trained that way. We've talked about flaming, but most of these kitchen faucets are plastic, so I would be melting all the internal components if I tried to use a flame to kill any other bacteria that might be in the faucet.
I have a question.
Understood. Go ahead.
Do you have a blank sample that you take to each location?
What do you mean by blank? I have empty bottles.
So normally, well, my experience with testing is that you've got a blank. You can have a blank there that will test for contamination for things like air and gloves and that sort of thing. And I'm just wondering if that's part of the protocol to actually have a blank with you at each location. That's not happening.
I've never even heard of that.
Okay. Thank you.
And then, Jeff, the other thing, and I mentioned it a minute ago, but the incubator, and again, I'm not sure where that's at and how it would be used, but do you think that could be, you know, part of a improved process so that we, you know, could hopefully get good positive results of our own prior to submitting them to the state?
Well, I have the incubator minus the instruction booklet. I ordered a sample kit from Roth Industries and have everything. The problem is you have to take the sample, put it in the incubator for 24 hours, and then test it. And I could start doing that, but it just adds another level because I'm having to take twice as many samples. So I take one to test it internally, then I have to go back out and get new samples to test it again. Or I would do twice, you know, two samples at every location, me test one and take it in. But there's a time frame that I have to deliver it from the date, the time it was sampled at the cabin. I have to get it into the lab within 24 hours. So if I'm doing incubating, it has to be like a day or a half, day, 2 days before, then I have to drive back out, get the sample, and get it to the lab. So it just adds another level of complexity. My suggestion was in the summer months where we typically have this problem is right now we're just doing one sample a month. I could actually sample twice a month without having to drive to St. George because the CANAB lab will accept samples twice a month, the second Wednesday and the fourth Wednesday. So the first Wednesday of the month, I could go out and just do investigative and see where we stand. If we already determined then we have a problem, we have 2 weeks to treat it or clean it up. And then I would take the actual sample that would go to the state on the second Wednesday or the fourth Wednesday of the month. That would double the number of times I'm going out to do water samples, but that will at least give us more control than just taking a sample and hoping it's going to pass.
Got it. Well, I appreciate the suggestion, and like I said earlier, we'll be working together to try to, you know, get our systems, you know, dialed in to the point where we're not just hoping for the best. So, but I appreciate all the work. I know it's a lot of work, and you know, especially when you have to, you know, drive all the way to St. George. And so we all really appreciate what you're doing, and I know you don't want failing results any more than any of the rest of us. So We just need to work together to try to figure out the way to avoid that. Okay, the only other, in terms of just a brief update on a couple of things, we've talked in the past couple of months about gravel and gravel pits, and that's still on the agenda for the board to be working on. We also, the board is still needs to work on follow-up from the results of the glamping survey, for lack of a better term, the survey results that we received at the annual meeting. So both of those items are still on the agenda for the board to follow up on, but no new information as of today. Any questions for me before we move on? All right, Mr. Kurt Jacobson, you're up. Anything you want to add?
I am good.
Kurt, are you there? Okay. All
yes,
right, thank you. Okay, you said nothing to add, correct, Kurt?
Correct.
Okay. All right, Cindy, you're up.
Hi, this is Cindy. The first thing I want to do is to thank Kevin and Cindy Poole, who are still our work camper volunteers out at the ranch, and they are still taking care of the cabins, and I appreciate it so much. They're doing a great job. Been very, very, very happy with their service. So thank you, Cindy and Kevin.
Thank you.
The only other thing I wanted to mention is that I'd like to make sure that Larry and Kurt are keeping me updated on the status of the RV pads, since I can't be there to go look myself. How many do we actually have that are leveled and graveled and ready for next year's volunteers? And if there's any further consideration given to providing electric. So I just want to make sure you guys keep me somewhere in the back of your mind so that I can be, you know, recruiting people and telling them what, you know, what will the facilities be like and what are we offering them. So that's about it.
Thank you, Cindy. Joe, you're up.
Okay, this is Joe. First, I'd like to thank, you know, Brent and Jeff and Tina and Kurt for working on Cabin 4. I was up there yesterday. Looks like a bomb hit it right now. But it's coming together, and they got the floor being put in and the water being fixed. My wife found some more furniture that we're going to donate to the Cabin 4. And it looks like Cabin 4 is going to be in good shape, so we're staying on top of the project and everything looking good. That's all I got.
Thank you very much for that. Mr. John Harris.
Yes, sir. Well, on the roads right now, for the most part, we're pretty much done with what we're going to do until spring on the roads. Ordinarily, I would have been gone by now to my winter place, but I have a reason why I can't right now. So we're not doing too much there. It's a little late to do certain things, like making a road base and what have you. But we do have a little project up on the upper end of the ranch there at the forest gate. We still have to take care of a problem we got up there. Next spring, I would hopefully be able to, if we don't have too much road damage, I'd like to get on started on extending some culverts that are so short that we got some holes in the road that extend out into the road, and they could be a little dangerous, but this will all happen in the spring. And If anybody has any questions for me, I can take that. But that, other than that, that's all I got to say now.
Hey, John?
Yes.
My understanding was that with this fire mitigation program with the county and somewhat with the Forest Service, they may be willing and actually have the need to do some road improvement to get access in and out, especially if the forest does much. I'm not completely sure what all their plan is. But I was kind of watching that to see about possibly installing a much larger culvert just inside of our north gate to take care of all the – each year we experience some pretty significant flood damage coming from the forest, and we need to do a better job with a larger culvert diverting that toward the big red reservoir instead of – right on down Meadow Canyon and through the meadow and along the road. So I had intended to kind of keep an eye on how the fire mitigation, the forest, the county, all that works together. And in my spare time, possibly work on doing a bigger culvert install across our main Meadow Canyon road there at the fork to the forest and Pipeline Canyon. Do you know yet how long you're going to be around with your recent delving into the cattle industry?
Well, I'm going to be around at least two more weeks, but my truck is in the body shop because I did hit a cow coming home in the dark, a black cow, and no moon, and
welcome to the club.
The cow lost its life. The owner of the cow got some meat, and I got to pay for the cow. And my truck is in the body shop, and I don't know. And I got to have it to move things. But so, heck, I don't know. I may be here until 1st of December.
Okay.
Very honestly.
Well, we had talked about getting together, and just unfortunately your schedule, my schedule hasn't gotten together yet, but possibly next week, if you're still around, I'd like to walk some of that with you.
Yeah, we need to do that. I'd like to get that culvert in. You and I have discussed that culvert. We need at least 30 feet there of a larger culvert there at the forest gate, because if we get any significant weather this winter, the way that's looking right now, that area can become impassable. And we need to move that culvert down away from where it is now so we get a straight shot of water coming out of the National Forest. The way we have it now, the water is making a couple of turns. It flows down that one smaller culvert just keeps plugging up. And as far as it's my understanding that the National Forest is going to have to do some road widening and what have you. And unless I misunderstood, I think they're going to do a little work through Meadow Canyon there. And that would, and maybe you'll remember this. Maybe you won't. But it seemed to me that when the fire warden was here talking to us about the areas they were going to thin out there, from the ponderosas down to the ponds, that they were going to perhaps do a little road work there. Maybe that's a misunderstanding on my part, but I thought I understood that.
That's what I understood initially, but I haven't seen any of that in their more recent plans and communication, so we'll have to follow up with that.
You go up.
Yeah, that was my understanding.
John, if you drive up Meadow Canyon north of the ponds, there are pink ribbons in the trees marking the areas that they're going to thin out. And it goes up all the way to the Iron Gate.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, it goes up there, but from the ponderosas, if you'll take a look, the county, or not the county, but the Forestry Service went, come out here from the Ponderosa, so the gate that's going into National Forest. They hung ribbons going all the way up to, up the hill there towards Nelson's house with ribbons along that fence there, and they come down that road all the way down to a pipe on Phantom Road, continued on past Dale Clarkson's house and on into the old pipeline going in front of Dale Clarkson's other lots going into the National Forest. I didn't see how far they were going, but they're apparently they're going to be trimming that and doing a bunch of work there, as well as along the pipeline coming out of that gate going into the National Forest.
The forest, National Forest, has marked the boundary, the common boundary between Deer Springs and National Forest, all the way across from Pipeline Canyon to Crawford and Gravel and Birch Canyon. So they've marked their entire boundary. That's part of what's been marked over next to Kevin Poole's lot in Crawford.
But anyway, this well, area here has been discussed before between. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say when Spencer and Derek were talking to us, they made it clear that the state is doing some work in conjunction with what the county's doing, but it's actually two different projects. So, you know, Spencer might be able to answer questions about, you know, how the two different projects are working together. But he made it very clear when he was talking to the board that, you know, the work that the state is going to be doing is separate from the fire mitigation work that the Kane County is doing. But I'm sure if you wanted to get clarification, you could just give Spencer a call, and he could probably, you know, answer any questions that anybody has.
Or
at least put you in touch with somebody who can.
This is Joanne again. Do we know why the forest has marked their boundary all the way across? Is that because they're doing the fire mitigation on their side, or they're marking the?
I believe so. I think that's what they are identifying the boundary and where they're going to do their thinning or lemon trim.
This has been discussed before over the last few years. But remember here a few years ago, Brent Fulmer was talking about the National Forest coming down there, and they were basically wanting to clear that out, and also they if anybody wanted their cleared out on their property across from that boundary there, that they would be willing to do that. That was discussed several years ago, and it seems to me it's just now coming to pass.
Got it. John, if you have any questions in terms of what they're doing and how it might impact the roads, you should just give Spencer a call. And if he can't answer any questions, he should be able to connect you with somebody from the state who can.
All right, very good. I'll do that.
Okay, and Kathy is off on her hunting trip. So, Larry, you get to wrap it up.
One area of my responsibility with the wildlife, I was scheduled to be at the Ponsonant Landowners Association meeting. It was originally scheduled for November 13th, but they postponed it till December 4th. I believe it's the 4th, 3rd or 4th. So I'll have some update from the deer, elk, money program after December, the December meeting. I was waiting some on from our last meeting. We talked about the need to do some safety and functionality changes at the gravel pit, so members would have access. For those members that wanted to do their own, have access to some gravel, we had talked about possibly having a bid submitted from potentially three or four other people to get an idea what that would cost. I don't know that that has ever happened. I am in the process of buying some other equipment, and I think I'm going to go ahead and do some work in the gravel pit in the coming, as long as the weather permits, during the coming month, to make it safer and have accessibility for other members that want to do, anybody that has their own small tractor and wants to load small loads, they would still have to get their own permit from VLM. But start trying to have road base and leach rock and gravel available for members to use. I don't know. Anything else to add? I want to say I'm glad to see that we're making some changes with administration to be more up to date and up to speed on technology, simply because I know our membership is getting more and more, kind of like my phone, smarter and smarter. And the more things we can simplify to make it easier for members, for board members, for our staff, make life easier. I know I really appreciate all the hard work that Mariah did. But I hate to see somebody do all the handwriting and calculating when you can push a button or somebody can enter it once and it does it and you don't have to redo it 10 times. So I'm glad to see that Jennifer's kind of getting us updated and up to speed on that kind of stuff. And I'm also glad to see a lot of the new members at the ranch that are more involved and actively using their property and the association property. So I really do think we're all moving in positive directions, and that's about all I have to add at this time.
Okay, thank you, Larry. Any final questions or comments from anybody on the call?
Mike, I have one comment. This is Joanne again. I know that Jennifer sent out the Zoom link and put on there that the board meeting will be a Zoom meeting probably until June because weather permitting. And I think it's much easier and more enjoyable for more members to be able to participate in the board meetings via Zoom, so that we can all participate and share our ideas and notes, and it is documented since we're doing the transcription. However, I did want to point out that because we're doing the Zoom meeting, the board meeting via Zoom because of the weather does not mean that we cannot go up to the ranch until June. It's beautiful up there in the wintertime, or until then. The roads are impassable when wet. We all know that. But I hope that some members are not concerned that I have had reactions that people say, oh, can we not? We can only get up there 6 months out of the year. And I'm hoping that we're trying to extend the season up there rather than limit it. And that's what we're doing here in Kanab, is trying to extend the season so more people can enjoy participating in the ranch. And we do have several people that do live there year round, and many of the rest of us would like to live there year round. So I just wanted to make a note of that, that let's push to have it a year-round enjoyable. And thank you for doing the Zoom meetings so that we can all participate.
Thank you, Joanne. I agree with all of that. I was up there last weekend, and I'll probably be going back up either before Thanksgiving or shortly after, and I'm one of those people, I would love to be at the ranch year-round. So we have to figure out, my wife and I have to figure out a way to make that work. So we'll be working on that. Any additional comments before we're done? All right, well, thank you, everybody. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your comments and contributions. And our next meeting, yes?
That I was just going to say we need to clarify if we're sticking to our schedule or if we have a change for next month's meeting.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, based on the calendar, the next meeting would fall on Saturday, December 11th. And I'm okay with that date as long as everybody else is. You know, we've, in the past, we've tried to move things around to try to accommodate individual, you know, needs or schedules, and it's almost impossible to come up with an alternative that works for everybody. So, you know, my recommendation would be that we keep it on Saturday the 11th. The other option would be if people would rather just skip the month of December and, you know, spend time on the holidays. You know, it's winter time. I don't know that there's a whole lot going on at the ranch. But to be honest, my preference would be to keep the meeting there. And if anything, maybe we just have a short meeting. But I like the consistency of having it on the second Saturday of the month. Larry, what do you think?
Typically, we work November or December to do some budget so we can send out our next year's budget and the assessments the first of the year for the membership. So I, as much as I hate meetings of any kind, I still think we really do need to have it and kind of pound through some budget items. And now that Jennifer spent all of our budget on her fancy bells and whistles. So personally, I think we'd stick with December 11th and do what we need to do.
I agree. December 11th it is.
Same time.
10 o'clock Mountain Time, yep. All right, guys. Well, thank you again. Appreciate everybody's time and efforts, and have an enjoyable Saturday afternoon.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Till next time. Yep, happy Thanksgiving, absolutely.